Welcome to the Christian Business Concepts with your host, Harold Milby. Christian Business Concepts is dedicated to guiding companies and business owners in becoming effective, efficient, and successful through God's Word and godly principles. Now, here's your host, Harold Milby.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's Christian Business Podcast episode. I'm so glad that you've made the decision to download today's podcast. And if you're new to CBC, we especially want to thank you and welcome you this week. And, you know, each week we do our very, very best to encourage and enlighten and empower people to apply biblical principles that we believe will help you find true godly success. You know, godly success will bring you fulfillment in your life, and a sense that you're accomplishing your purpose in life. And there's nothing greater than that, trust me. If you've never experienced it, I believe if you continue to listen to these podcasts, I believe you will experience it. And, you know, we're on our way to reaching 1 million business owners and leaders and people who are wanting to take that journey, you know, to get from where they are right now to a place of godly success in their professional life, and I believe even in their personal life. So if you'd like to help us accomplish that big goal, we'd love for you to help us, and you can do that by sharing this podcast with four or five people and let them know and help them find it and get it on their smart device. And, you know, we really desire to see this community grow and would love to ask you to help. So today I want to give a big shout out to two cities. Actually, they're the two cities that had the most downloads. They kind of tied this week. And the two cities that had the most downloads in the last week were Sydney, in Australia, and Oklahoma City in Oklahoma here in the United States. So thank you both. Thank you folks for downloading that many episodes. You know, I love you all, and I am truly humbled by your support, as well as everyone else who is a part of our community. So keep it up, everybody. We're excited about it and excited about today's podcast. You know, last week, we began discussing winning attitudes that guarantee success. And I shared with you how I believe that it is guaranteed. I believe because God's Word, there's so many instances in God's Word where He tells us that He wants us to be successful. He tells us He wants us to be blessed. And so we talked about the benefits of having a winning attitude that are biblical winning attitudes. And we talked about having a better health, having improved mental health, and better creativity, being more productive and motivated. We overcome adversity a lot easier. We're more successful in our relationships, whether it be personal relationships or business relationships. We have an increased resilience to adversity. We get a big boost in our self-confidence, and then we get a greater sense of life satisfaction. You know, we talked about those things in detail. You know, we also discussed the first four attitudes that will guarantee success, and I would encourage you to download part one from last week and listen to those four and listen to that podcast as well. But let's jump into more of these attitudes that we started talking about last week. So, you know, as we go through here, number five, it's the attitude of facing challenges with determination and perseverance. Knowing, here is the key, knowing that God is with you. Well, what are some of the action steps? Well, you need to learn how to embrace setbacks as opportunities for growth and learning. Listen, nobody likes setbacks. Nobody likes to fail. Nobody likes to fall down, skin their knee, bruise their nose. Nobody likes that. But if we embrace those setbacks as opportunities for growth, it really helps us to see the importance of some of those setbacks. Sometimes The setbacks, I think Joel Osteen has said this. He said setback is a setup for a comeback. And I think that there's so many positive things that come from setbacks, and we learn so many different things. You know, we need to lean on God's strength to persevere through those difficult times. We lean on His strength. You know, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 in the Amplified Version says, I can do all things which He has called me to do through Him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill His purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Wow, that's powerful. You know, Abraham Lincoln wrote a letter one time to William Seward. It was in June of 1862. In that letter, he says this. He said, I expect to maintain this contest until successful, or till I die, or am conquered, or my term expires, or Congress or the country forsakes me. Now, that's a person who's just made a decision that they're going to do everything that they can to move forward, recognizing that there could be obstacles ahead of him. But he was pretty sure. Calvin Coolidge, one of our great presidents too, he said, nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with great talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. What a powerful statement by one of our great past presidents. All right, let's move on. Attitude number six, showing compassion and empathy towards others, reflecting the love of Christ. So what are some of the action steps? Well, care for the well-being of your employees and prioritize a positive work culture. Don't just talk about having a good culture. Create it. Be proactive. Do something about having a great culture. It will help you keep your employees and keep them motivated and effective and efficient. Make sure that you extend grace and understanding to those people who are facing challenges, and practice empathy in your decision-making processes. Now, I'm not saying that if you have a bad employee that you've given chance after chance after chance, that you need to continue to give them a chance. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you practice empathy. Look and see what's going on with that employee. And if they're just an employee who just don't want to work, then it's time to cut them loose so that you can put somebody in that position who will. You know, Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So I think that's an attitude that we need to have. And, you know, I believe that, you know, when you cultivate these winning attitudes that we're talking about as a Christian business leader, as a Christian person, I believe that you're not only going to achieve success in business, but I believe that these attitudes are going to have such a powerful and positive impact in your personal life and in those around you, whether it be business or personal. I believe it'll impact those people around you as well. All right, attitude number seven, having a clear vision and purpose for your business that aligns with God's plan for your life. So you've got to define your business's mission statement based on the biblical principles there. You don't want a mission statement that is contrary to the Word of God. Then you need to communicate that vision to your team and inspire them to work towards that common goal. I tell people all the time, if you can't write down your vision, then you don't have a vision. Because if you can't write it down, how are you going to articulate it to the people that work for you? So if you don't have a written vision statement and mission statement, then you don't have one. It's that simple. And so I want to encourage you, that should be the first thing you start working on if you don't have. And you need to seek God's guidance. Make sure you align with the business goals that God has for you, His purpose for you. You know, Habakkuk 2:2 says this. It says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. That is important. That's important. You have to do it. You know, Helen Keller made this statement one time. I got a couple of quotes here from her. She said, true happiness is not attained through gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy purpose. She went on to say that the only thing worse than being blind is having sight, but no vision. Folks, vision is important. It's incredibly important. So I encourage you to make sure you work towards that goal of getting that in a written form. The next attitude, seeking wisdom and discernment from God to make sound business decisions. Listen, you want to make some bad decisions, then just make every decision that you want based upon what you think, based upon what you know. But if you want to make good decisions and ones that will come back and pay dividends, pray for God's wisdom. Pray for His discernment in all of your decision-making process. And consult with mentors. If you don't have mentors in your life, get some. And seek advice from experienced Christian business leaders. You know, trust in God's guidance to make choices that align with His will. You know, James 1 and 5, it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. But let that man ask in faith, nothing wavering. You know, it's important that you go to God and ask Him for wisdom, because He'll sure give it to you. Trust me, He really, really will. The next attitude, foster a culture of collaboration and teamwork within your organization. You know, I have experienced of late many companies and owners of companies who say, oh yeah, we have a lot of teamwork here. You know, we really foster teamwork. And then as I began to dig into some things and look at some things, I found out that it's only in words. The only thing they talk about teamwork, but they don't do anything to promote teamwork and collaboration. So it's important that you encourage open communication among your team, recognize and appreciate the unique strengths. You know, everybody has their own strength. Each team member that you have has their own strengths, their own experiences, their own skills. You need to recognize and appreciate that. You know, and then you need to lead by example, by working together with your team people, with your team members towards that vision that you have. You know, Proverbs 15:22 says, get all the advice that you can and you will succeed. Without it, you will fail. So it's very, very important. The next attitude, embrace a mindset of continuous learning and personal growth. You need to invest in yourself in ongoing education and development opportunities that will kind of help enhance your skills. Enhance what you already know. And you can do that in a lot of ways. You can listen to podcasts like this, and you can read books, and you can go to seminars. And I mean, you can do it pretty inexpensively, but you need to have a growth plan in your life. It's been a while since I've talked about that, but you should have a growth plan every year. What are you going to do this year to grow? What books are you going to read? What seminars are you going to go to? What types of material are you going to digest in order to grow? You need to have a growth plan. It needs to be written out so you can see if you're making the mark. You need to seek some feedback from other people to be open to making improvements in your life and your professional life. You need to be able to be willing to make those improvements and recognize that you do need to get better at what you're doing. 1 Timothy 4:14-15, it says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. So we all need to be making progress in our lives. And so you have to have a plan to do that. All right, next, have an attitude of trusting God's promises and having unwavering faith in His plans for your life. You know, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is a very, very important thing in our relationship with the Lord, because let's be honest, nobody has the address to where God is, and we can send people to go see God. You know, have a tour bus. Ah, this is where God lives, is right here, ladies and gentlemen. You know, well, we don't have that. So we believe in God by faith. But I can tell you, just like you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind, I can't see God, but I can see his effects in my life. And I just want to share that with you, but we need to trust in him and have unwavering faith in his plans for our lives. And, we need to meditate on his scriptures, meditate on his word, meditate on those things that reinforce that importance of faith and trust in God. Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your paths straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. So that's important. And pray for an increase in your faith and trust in God's timing and provision. Step out in faith. Take bold actions. Put a flag in the ground. Even the disciples went to God and said, increase our faith. And he shared some really marvelous things with them. So I encourage you, live with that attitude of trusting God, standing in faith, unwavering faith. In the middle of the night, there was in a small little farm town, there was this two-story house, and it caught fire. And as quickly as they could, of course, everybody made their way out through all the smoke-filled house, and they got out into the front yard, and everybody got out except for a 5-year-old little boy. And the father looked upstairs and looked in the boy's window, and he saw that little 5-year-old, and he was crying. He's rubbing his eyes. And so he ran to the window, which was open. The little boy had opened the window, and the father said, jump. Jump, son, I'll catch you. You jump. And the little boy said, but I can't see you. And the dad said, no, son, you can't, but I can see you. And the little boy jumped, and he landed safely in his father's arms. That little boy had faith in his father. But when he jumped, he made a life-altering commitment and decision, and it changed his life. It's protected his life, and we have to do that sometimes when we stand in faith, believing for God. We may not see it, but he does, so we need to have faith and step out. The next attitude, practicing generosity and stewardship with regard to your resources wisely for God's kingdom purposes. It's not about you buying the next biggest boat, but what can you do to help further the kingdom of God? We need to look at that. And I would encourage you to study the Bible regarding generosity and teaching of stewardship and that kind of thing. Look at 2 Corinthians 9. Read that, especially verses 6 through 8. And give generously. You support those in need. Do what you can to advance God's kingdom work. That's what you want to do. And I believe that God's businesses around the world, that's one of their callings, is that they should all be willing to support the kingdom of God in some way or some form or fashion. So manage your resources with wisdom and integrity, and recognize that all you have belongs to God, because you're just a steward. You're just a steward. Proverbs 11:30 says, the seeds of good deeds become a tree of life. A wise person wins friends. So you want to plant things like seeds, and be sure you check your motive. Just make sure your motives are pure for what you're doing. Always check your motive. All right, next attitude, realize that people are not your problem. Ephesians 6:12 in the Amplified says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. So realize that. Realize that your problem is not people. It's not against people. What can you do about that? Well, don't focus on people's shortcomings or their mistakes. And then realize that most people don't realize when the enemy is using them. Because sometimes the enemy will use people against you, but your problem is not the people. And then respond to the situation and don't react to the person. Let me say that again. I believe that's wisdom seed, to be honest. Respond to the situation, but do not react to the person. And so realize that people are not your problem. Next attitude, focus on the eternal. Focus on the eternal. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, in the English Standard Version, it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above and not on things that are on this earth." You know, our life is but a vapor. That's what the Bible says. But eternity is so, so much more. So let's focus on the eternal. Let's have an attitude of the eternal and not just what's going on here on this earth. All right, next, have an attitude of no complaining. Have an attitude of no complaining. You know, Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, it says that in everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live a clean, innocent life as children of God in a dark world full of people who are crooked and stubborn. Shine out among them like beacon lights. So you want to make sure that you're not one of these people who complain about everything. It's really not worth it. You know, I once read about a man who back in the 1970s was driving, and he was in a downpour. I mean, it was just pouring down rain, and he stopped to get gas. And back in those days, you know, it was full service. You know, somebody came outside and put the gas in your car, and he sat there, and he was in his nice dry car while this attendant was out there in the pouring down rain putting gas in his car. And the guy was just whistling, man. He was so happy. And as the customer was leaving, he said, apologetically, he said, "Man, I'm really sorry to get you out in this weather." And the attendant replied, he said, "It doesn't bother me a bit." He said, "When I was fighting in Vietnam, I made up my mind in a foxhole one day that if I ever got out of this place alive, I would be so grateful I'd never complain about anything again, and I haven't." So, you know, one person may like to say happiness consists of living each day as if it were the first day of your honeymoon and the last day of your vacation. But I believe that we need to live a life that says I'm happy with my life. I'm happy with what God's doing in my life, no matter what the situation, and I refuse to complain. All right, next attitude: be quick to listen, be slow to speak. You know, James 1 and 19 through 20 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." We get into trouble most of the time with our mouth. That's most of when we get into trouble. And so I encourage you, be quick to listen and slow to speak. You know, make sure that's something that you seriously consider in your life, and watch every day. Really watch. Your attitude: you should have control of your ambition. Do not let your ambition control you. You know, Philippians 2 and 3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." So you want to make sure that you control your ambition, and don't let your ambition get out of control. Next, live with a mindset of glorifying God. Live with a mindset of glorifying God. You know, Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever you do." Now, whatsoever means exactly that. It means whatever, everything. I mean, you could read it that way. "And everything you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." So live with that attitude that you're trying to bring glory to God. Let that be in your mindset. Let it be in the forefront of your mind that you're wanting to glorify God. And then the last attitude is find joy and delight in the Lord. You know, Psalms 37 and 4 in the NIV says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Now, let me just share this with you real quick in that passage. You know, we've a lot of people have taught that this message and are taught this passage, and it says, "And he will give you the desires of your heart," so he'll give you whatever you want. Now, I do believe there's some truth to that, but also believe that when you take delight in the Lord, that He will put the desires within your heart that you need to have. I do believe that. I've experienced that myself. There's times that there's desires within me that just don't seem natural. It doesn't seem like that's come from myself, but it's a true desire that I have, and God has always worked out those desires. And I believe that God has put those there. And so I just want to say to you today to really take the time and find joy, find delight in the Lord. Have delight and joy in serving the Lord. There's nothing greater. There's nothing greater that could happen in your life. I believe that by embracing these biblical winning attitudes for success, I really believe that you'll not only achieve personal and professional growth and success, but I also believe that you'll impact other people in a real positive way. And I believe you'll bring glory to God through your actions. Remember, you need to seek God's wisdom. Lead with humility and purpose. Trust in His faithfulness. And use your resources to further the kingdom. I mean, these are just some great attitudes. And may these attitudes guide you towards a really successful and fulfilling life that honors God. Lord, thank you for helping each of us develop these attitudes in our lives. Lord, I'm still working on some of these, Lord, myself. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you for helping me. But Lord, I ask you to help them, that Lord, we can find true success as defined by you, O Lord. Lord, as we find your success, help us to look to you as the author of that success. And let us always give you glory. Let us always give you glory, Lord. And we thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thanks so much for listening today. And be sure to reach out to us by going to our website at christianbusinessconcepts.org. That is christianbusinessconcepts.org. And you can find some additional helps there for you on the website. And we're going to continue to work on adding more things that we feel like can help you. And so we appreciate that. And thank you today for being a part of the podcast, being a part of the CBC community. That's all we have time for today. But I do want you to remember, until next time, Jesus is Lord, and He wants you blessed.
Thank you for tuning into this week's Christian Business Concepts podcast. Go to christianbusinessconcepts.com for more information and resources. Be sure to check out other podcasts that will help you take your business and your personal life to a whole new level of success.